Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, Text 31. Gopya kamad bayat kam so. Dve sach chad yad dayo nripaha. Sambandat rishnaya snehad. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vivo. Gopya, the gopis, kamat, out of lusty desires, bayat, out of fear, kangsa, king kangsa, dveshat, out of envy, Chaidya Adayaha, Shishupal and others, Nripa, kings, Sambandat, out of kinship, Rishnayaha, the Rishnis or the Yadavas, Snehat, out of affection, Yuyam, you the Pandavas, Bhaktya, by devotional service. Vayam, we. Vibho, O great king. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King Yudhisthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kansa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we the general devotees by our devotional service have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Purport. Different persons achieve different types of mukti. Sayuja, Salokya, Svarupya, Samipya, and Sharsti, according to their own intense desire, which is called bhava. Thus it is described here that the gopis, by their lusty desires, which were based upon their intense love for Krishna, became the most beloved devotees of the Lord. Although the gopis at Vrindavan expressed their lusty desires in relationship with the paramour, parakīya rasa, they actually had no lusty desires. This is significant of spiritual advancement. Their desires appeared lusty, but actually they were not the lusty desires of the material world. Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the desires of the spiritual material world to gold and iron. Both gold and iron are metal, but there's a vast difference in their value. The lusty desires of the gopis for Krishna are compared to gold, and material lusty desires are compared to iron. Kamsa and other enemies of Krishna merged into the existence of Brahman. But why should Krishna's friends and devotees have the same position? Krishna's devotees attain the association of the Lord as his constant companions, either in Vrindavan or in the Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, although Narada Muni wanders in the three worlds, he has exalted devotion for Narayan, Aishvaryaman. The Vrishnis and the Yadus and the father and mother of Krishna and Vrindavan have all familial relationships with Krishna. Krishna's foster father and mother of Vrindavan, however, are more exalted than Vasudeva and Devaki. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mayeva mana adatsva, mayi buddhim niveshayat, ivashi shashi mam eva ato orivam nasamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. Some persons are on that level where they could actually do that. And the process of doing that, of coming to that level, is called sadhana bhakti, atachitam samadhatum The sakshano simayistiram abhyasena yogena tatomam ichchantum dananjaya. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, Arjuna, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and in this way try to develop the desire to obtain me. In other words, because we have a desire for so many things, and those so many things are general relationship to this material world, therefore that so many things takes away our desire to become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna consciousness depends upon Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasidehinam Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya Pramdushma Nivartate. The invited soul may be restricted from sense objects, although the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. Unless we experience the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, which is of different varieties and different intensities, then we're not going to give up our taste for material existence. Because we have to try to enjoy something, we have to try to serve, we have to try and love something. If we're not conscious of Krishna, then we have to try to serve something in the material world, or things in the material world. Or in proportion to our becoming conscious of Krishna, to that degree, we become aloof or detached from the allurements of material energy. But those who are able to fix their mind upon Krishna without reservation, then at least they become elevated from material existence. So yena tena pakarena manakrishna niveshayat. Or as it says in another plot, akama sarvakarma va mokshakami udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham para. Whether one is full of desire or has no material desire or wants liberation, still one should try to fix the mind upon Krishna. Because by doing so, one will at least come to the platform of liberation. Now, as it mentions here, the liberation the Kamsa achieved is not the liberation that we're trying to achieve. In one sense, it's not different, but it's limited, that's all. It's because he was envious of Krishna, therefore his intelligence was covered. Although he achieved Brahman realization, or merging into Brahman, so-called merging into Brahman, but he didn't go beyond that, and that situation is only temporary because it doesn't solve the problem of the soul's desire. Krishna is arranging both the material and spiritual worlds according to our desire. And unless we have a desire which is steady, then our desire will cause our intelligence to seek after something else to satisfy that desire. Because the soul wants to be happy. It wants to have love. It wants to have purpose. It wants to have so many things, and those things won't be found in Brahman. Everyone wants a purpose for existence, a reason for being, and ultimately that reason is love. That's why they always talk about love, love, love. Although it doesn't exist in its true form in the material world, everyone is always talking about it, writing books about it, singing about it, but no one ultimately experiences it, at least not in a permanent way, not in the way that they're actually anxious to do it. So they want a purpose of life, and they want people to share that purpose, to live that purpose of life with. Now, if you make the purpose of life to merge in Brahman, there may be a lot of people there, but you don't really associate very much with them. So we also need a purpose of life to share with others. And we need something to do in that purpose. In other words, we need an occupation. We have to be doing something in that purpose. Our purpose can't be Brahman negates the most of the purposes of life, in the sense that there's no one else that you share that purpose of life with. There's nothing you do there. There's no act. And the purpose is not satisfied. Devotional service, even in sadhana bhakti, is subhada, which means that it's beneficial, it's attractive to everyone, and it gives a higher pleasure than material sense gratification, and it's beneficial for everyone. For Brahman is, although it gives a higher experience than sense gratification, still, it's not exact, and it's, I guess you can say it's beneficial for everyone. But as far as keeping everyone attracted, it's only a temporary attraction, because it doesn't completely fulfill the desires of the soul. So we need purpose, we need people to live that purpose with, we need something to do in that purpose, and we have to be able to do something beneficial, to have some mission in life, a purpose, and also we want to share that with others. So these things are not covered in Brahman. They are covered by, for instance, the Pandavas or the Rishnis, their relation with Krishna, and certainly the Gopis. And by such activities that they were performing, then we can also understand what our goal of life should be and how to perform it. Their activities are instructive for all of us. And part of that is either the gopis or the Pandavas or even the Rishnis, they didn't live at least a completely happy material life. Although they were blessed with all kinds of material opulences, still, without Krishna, they were never happy. And without the material opulences, like in Vrindavan, with Krishna, they were happy. Although Vrindavan is said to be quite opulent, but it's opulent with devotional feelings. And that's actually the opulence of Vrindavan. Otherwise, fruits and flowers and some milk products. But added to that, the devotional feelings, then it's said to be more opulent than Vaikuntha or even Dwarka. So everyone in the material world is interested in gaining opulence, security, but there is no security in the material world. And ultimately, what is that opulence? Simply the different forms that earth, water, fire, air take. And they're valued at different degrees according to the modes of nature that our mind, intelligence, and false ego are situated under. So the material opulence is more or less just an illusion. First of all, we don't own the material energy because we're not in control of it. We can't even control one atom in the material energy. It's being controlled by the laws of karma under the direction of time, which is ultimately controlled by Krishna. Therefore, yasyanugrahami karishe tadanam shanai. Sometimes Krishna, even for his devotees, he takes everything away so that they wake up from the spell that they think they can make progress in the material world by gaining different kinds of benefit, material benefit, whether it be material education or whether it be material wealth or personal influence, as if these things will actually satisfy us and are actually progressive, having our life becoming progressive. But according to the authorities, this kind of progression is actually just external. It's illusory. Whatever gain we make in this material world will be lost. And whatever we lost, wasn't ours in the first place. You can't lose something you don't have, you don't possess. Therefore, sometimes Krishna takes things away in order to shake people up so that they can take shelter of Krishna as the only real asset that's going to be permanent. every other thing that we're trying to achieve in this material world outside of Krishna consciousness ultimately just results in frustration. Because if we get it, we lose it, and that's even more frustrating. And if we're working to get it, then we're in anxiety trying to get it. So either way, we think we need something in the material world, and we work for it, we'll be in anxiety to get it. And when we get it, we have to lose it, so we'll be in anxiety when we lose it. Therefore, if we make our goal to become conscious of Krishna, then the result is that we won't be frustrated. We'll actually get something valuable. Everything else we get will have very little value in the ultimate. Ultimately, it may even be the cause of our increased suffering in the future. Everything that people are doing to get out of suffering, as Prahlad Maharaj said, generally increases their suffering and their problems. The very problems they're trying to solve, by trying to solve them, becomes even a bigger problem. Therefore, we should take shelter of Bhagavad Gita, Yadricha, one who's satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord, who's free from dualities and does not envy. Yadricha labhashantu sto dvanvati to nimatsaraha samaksiraval siddhau chakripapinanabhadite. One who's satisfied with gain which comes of his own accord, who's free from duality and does not envy, is satisfied both in success and failure, is ever entangled although performing action. If we become, try to do our services in consciousness of Krishna, to please Krishna, then we won't be so much entangled by these everyday events of material existence. Right now, the people who are in control of the material existence, of the material world that we're living in Kali Yuga, are not controlling the material world for our benefit. They're controlling it in order to become the lords of material energy. They're not Brahmins. They're not even Kshatriyas. They're not even Vaishyas or Shudras. They're the persons who are propagating that the world is unreal, it has no foundation, has no God in control, this produces sex desire and has no cause in lust. And therefore, following such conclusions and loss to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So that's what we're seeing. And if we don't wake up, if we actually think we have to be part of their plan, rather than having our own plan to become conscious of Krishna, then we'll have to get the results of such foolish following blind people. Andaya Tandira, was it? Nitevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu Dirashaya Ye Bahir Artamanina Andaya Tandira Pigiyamanas Te Pisha Tandra Urudami Bara. Blind people, they don't know that the goal of life is to attain Krishna, and therefore they're enamored by insignificant things. And because they're enamored by insignificant things, they're following blind people who are offering these insignificant things. And the result is that they all get into the same difficulty. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj suggests, Naisham Matis Tavat Aruk Raman Grim Sprisha Inarta Bhagavan Inarta Mahiyasam Pararajevi Shekam Iskinshananam Navaranita Yadvat. That one should take shelter of a Mahatma who's free from all these material illusions and material desires, and should serve his lotus feet, and that way one will actually become free from all kinds of material misconceptions and sufferings. Otherwise, there is no other alternative. So when problems come, we can understand that simply where Krishna is trying to lower our fever, so we're not going to be so much enamored by material education, material wealth, personal influence, etc. Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, and position. And then we'll be able to chant Hare Krishna with some feeling and get over our madness, and that will actually be for our benefit. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments? Yes. Comments, questions.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture, Maharaj. I have a question of all those instructions from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Srimad Bhagavatam. How can I then understand when Prabhupada is saying simple living, calm thinking? Because I think it is only hard thinking and not so simple living to
just wait around. Looks like under the current direction that modern civilization is taking, everyone seems that they're going to have a much more simple life in the future. Yeah, the material nature, they get whatever opulence they have because they're past pious activities. But when you use up your past pious activities and your own accrue more and more sinful activities, then your high living will gradually diminish. But high thinking, that depends upon our willingness not only to hear, as I said, we can hear, but we have to try to remember what we heard. We have to pick out some, we have to pay attention. Just like the whole idea was Kamsa, the gopis, the Vrishnis, they paid attention to Krishna. Now, we'll get a benefit if we pay some attention. Now obviously, we're not on the platform. We're going to be able to focus our minds completely, like any one of those groups, upon Krishna. We don't have his personal association, like the Vrishnis, or the Pandavas, or the Gopis, or even Kamsa. Neither Krishna is going to come and waste his time to kill us, nor is he going to come and dance with us right now. So, we have to take it upon ourselves to concentrate our minds. Now, what the inspiration to concentrate the mind upon, sometimes it may be, generally people start out inspired by stress, to get free from stress. And then some people are enamored that if they concentrate their minds, then they'll be able to make more money. They'll be able to enjoy more sense gratification. Like the vulture that goes high into the sky only to look on the ground for a dead body. So people will actually concentrate their minds in order to enjoy a better standard of sense gratification. Others, rarely, they have some curiosity to find out what reality is. Many times they're Maya Pritijnanas. They want to discover reality so they can control everyone more and exploit people more. And some people are trying to become powerful, realize that they're actually the source of their power, energy, Brahman, so they can also control everything. Or get out of the material existence, whatever. So we have to have another impetus why we're trying to concentrate upon our mind upon Krishna, because we're promised if we do so, then we'll become happy. We'll become enlightened. We'll actually understand what the nature of life is, and we can go back to the spiritual world, whatever. So we're trying to be given a different inspiration for concentrating our minds specifically upon Krishna. Now, if we hear that and we don't practice it, we don't even know what we're supposed to be practicing. Namely, to remember, if your mind is fixed on something, you're going to remember it. If the experience is great enough, you'll remember it. You can't forget it. But right now, we're not going to have a huge experience, generally speaking. So we have to have some reason to actually try to remember. So we can forget. If we remember about Krishna, we'll also simultaneously forget about other things. And then we have to see it properly, because just remembering, our memories are not so good in Kali Yuga, and even remember, the tendency is gradually to forget, so it has to become realized knowledge, not just theoretical knowledge. Remembered knowledge is generally theoretical, and so we want to make it realized. So we have to first of all see what the knowledge means in terms of practical activities so that I can realize it. If we don't go through the first step of actually hearing, then we're out of the ballpark, we're out of the game. We go through the second step of remembering what we hear, we're just a little bit into the game, but we might soon be out of the game. And if we actually see what we're hearing about, that's also much better. But if we don't apply it, we'll also forget it. So then we have to apply it, and if we apply it in such a way as that Krishna is pleased, and he reveals himself and we become ecstatic, and he takes away the contamination of our heart, and the ecstasy burns away, as it says, like a blazing fire, turns firewood to ashes. So does the fire of knowledge burn to react all the reactions to past sinful activities. So if that gets burnt away, then we're able to see, because we're blind now, because we're covered by that illusory energy. Then we can see things more clearly, and then we'll be able to hear better, remember better, we'll have more inspiration, and see better, and then we can apply it better. And eventually we'll be able to understand that our field of activities is in loving exchanges with the devotees and Krishna, and even with the innocent, and even proper relationships with the non-devotees, at least keeping aloof from them. And as that becomes clear what to do, then we'll advance to actually Krishna consciousness. Then we'll actually get the ability to focus our mind upon Krishna with devotion. So there's a process there. If we're willing to take it up, then we'll make progress. And if we don't know what the process is, we can sit here all day long and hear about so many things and walk away and forget everything and wind up at the beginning with zero. During the day we have one, and at the end of the day we have zero again. So that will not be so advantageous. We actually have to understand that we're trying to get not only hearing, but we're trying to get some remembrance and vision by assimilating the knowledge, correct vision, and application as an intermediate devotee to try to love Krishna and cooperate with the devotees in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the temple and outside the temple, and to help the innocent. And ultimately defeat the atheistic propaganda that there is no God, or that everyone is whatever the atheistic propaganda is. So if we do that, we concentrate our mind upon that business, then we'll be able to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. It's all in relationship to Krishna. And if we do that, then we'll get the same benefit that the gopis got, or Kamsa got, or Rishnis, or Narada Muni God, whatever, or Shishupala mentioned here also. We'll be able to concentrate our mind upon Krishna, and if it's with devotion, then we'll get whatever spiritual perfection that we're desirous of. Otherwise, we have so many desires, we're striving for so many things in the material world, but if Krishna is not in the center, we won't get the ultimate benefit. Matter of fact, we won't get any real benefit. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I'll try to remember.
Good. Anything else? So let's ask what everyone understood from the class. Let's, Adi Purusha, what did you understand from the class?
I must meditate, evolve myself personally, and remember Krishna, as all these persons mentioned there. So whatever we do, our service is meant to, and whatever good or bad things happening around us is just a stimulus to meditate, to remember Krishna. So that's, and when we do remember, then we can maybe hope to take some of these lessons that are tested.
Okay, good. Anything else? Ananta, what did you understand?
You mentioned that the purpose share it with others, this resolute belief. Because what we have to do, Krishna wants to remember it somehow or the other, and then try to look away how to listen, how to implement it. This in our life, and then share it with others.
Everyone has to have a mission in life. Everyone has to have a purpose of life. So Krishna consciousness gives us Krishna's purpose, an opportunity to fulfill Krishna's purpose, to make Krishna's purpose our purpose, which means that to also make Krishna's mission our mission. Otherwise, people have some insignificant mission, you know, maintain a house and get their kids to grow up and get an education so they can get more kids. It's a purpose, it's a mission, but compare it to the actual mission of going back to the spiritual world, it's rather insignificant. So we have an opportunity to make Krishna's mission, Krishna's, our purpose, to fulfill Krishna's purpose. We get the opportunity to associate with devotees, God's associates, we get a chance to associate with them. So we can execute Krishna's mission together. Otherwise, if we don't associate with devotees, we're not going to be very effective in the mission. And if we have no purpose in life, our purpose is not Krishna's purpose, then we won't make Krishna's mission our mission, and we won't associate with the devotees. And even if we associate with devotees, it won't be for Krishna's mission, or to fulfill our personal purpose, or our personal ability, our personal talent or energies that we can utilize in Krishna's, in God's service. So only in the Krishna consciousness movement or any God conscious movement do people get the opportunity to utilize their resources for God's purpose, for His mission, and the association of Krishna's devotees. And that will enable us to actually focus in on Krishna. Otherwise, our intelligence will be splayed when we take up so many other purposes and so many other missions and so many just other associations who have so many other purposes and missions and utilizing their talents in so many other ways other than Krishna's. We're not even aware usually what they can do because there's nothing much to do for them. They're not really inspired to even manifest their own abilities and talents, because there's nothing really worthwhile to do it for. Anyone else? Madhuri, maybe you can say something. We have to get the mic. No, we want to hear from you. What did you understand from the class?
I need to remember what Krishna wants me to do, and that Krishna is pleased if I please devotees and associate with them. For me, it's the most important that I remember what Guru said about Simshacha, so I need to remember in my mind what is for pleasing Krishna or for pleasing myself.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Even Brahman, liberation, Brahman, you know, so,
Okay. Thank you very much. Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.